Number four is determination. The determination is the refusal to quit. Most important thing to understand is this. Never give up. Winston Churchill, former Prime Minister of England, we've all heard this story, but it's priceless, provided another example of determination. He was invited to speak in his latter years at the British prep school he had attended. His headmaster had told the students, "This is a historic moment. Churchill is the greatest speaker in the English language. Write down everything he says. He will make an unforgettable speech." When Churchill walked out to give his speech, he peered over the top of his glasses. And you can just imagine, you could have heard a pin drop. And he said to all waiting, pen in hand, paper close, baited for what? The words that would change their life. Their expectations was designed on one factor. I am ready to fill my journal. I am ready to fill my workbook. I'm willing to pay the price to sit here for hours on hours to obtain the knowledge that I expect that I shall receive. And he looks over his glasses and says, never give in. Never, never, never give in. With those words, Churchill sat down. The students were stunned. They were disappointed. Why, they had already decided what they expected. These words, however, are the only words those students, which we are all students, are we not, needed to hear. And they are the only words you need to bring your dreams into reality. By living those words, everything else has a tendency to move what? Forward. And faster and stronger and can literally grow. Because the more things start to move, you know what I'm talking about, the better the ideas get. Everybody meets obstacles, do we not? Setbacks and obstacles. If you don't have them, hello, McFly. What part of this world did you not understand? They happen to everybody. They can be frustrating, true. Disappointing, true. And they can slow your progress, true. Obstacles can come in many forms. Perhaps you will have trouble mastering some of the fundamentals. You may seem to make the same mistakes over and over. I feel like I'm talking to myself right then. Most importantly, maybe you will fail to do your best in a critical competition. So what? So what? The point of it is, get out there and get her done. The point of it is, obstacles are part of it. The point of it is, thank goodness there's not only one game we play in our whole life. Obstacles, setbacks, and losses naturally may discourage you. They may make you want to quit. Others may tell you that overcoming the frustrations and disappointments is not worth it. All the effort you're putting forth, it's not worth it. Now you got to ask yourself, it's not worth it to them. So expect that response. Don't be surprised, because they don't see it. They don't feel it. They're not understanding the picture. They don't understand your desire. They don't understand your heart. How can they expect it? But the most important is, don't let them influence something they don't understand. But anybody can quit. It takes a special person, a great leader, to preserve through the hardships and discouragement, to exercise the determination it takes to reach high goals. All winners possess a, what we call, a bulldog determination that separates them from those who give in to the temptations to quit and despair. Determination will help you overcome the obstacles that will rob your dreams, rob your skills, and take the gift that you were given. Take the gift that you were given and never allow it to come alive. I hope that I've said something here that will inspire you. Remember, I can't motivate you, inspire you to make a choice. Number 5 is courage. Taking a challenge head on. Courage is a measure of your heart, your desire, your inner strength. Courage, says the Webster Dictionary, is the firmness of spirit that faces extreme danger or difficulty without flinching or retreating. What things are you retreating from in life? When you are confronted with a situation in which your competitor is superior in experience, background, or physical strength, your inner strength, your courage, provides you with the winning edge. Courage keeps you from being intimidated. What things are you intimidated about? What things are you doing in your life that for some reason, someplace, somehow, somebody has intimidated you to stop moving in that direction? Wrong choice on their part, because you're not intimidated anymore. You're moving in the right direction by the prospect of failure. Do you realize the only way somebody can truly intimidate you is because what? They have convinced you to look at the failure, not the success. They've convinced you that failure is more painful than the benefits you're going to receive from your success. They got you to look this way compared to the way you were looking. True. Courage keeps you from being intimidated by the prospect of failure. Courage gives you confidence to look the threat of defeat squarely in the face. You understand I hesitated and emphasized squarely. Not sideways, not down, not up. I'm talking about stand square in the face and remain bold and calm. Courage is the mark of a great leader. Number 6, concentration. Whoa, this is a big one. This is a big one. I think more people have that difficult challenge right now is in the area of concentration. Concentration is one of the keys to success. It is an absolute essential to excellence and vital component in the formula for making a true leader. Achievers in any pursuit concentrate on every thought and motion with such an intensity that they cannot be distracted into making mistakes. We talked about this, and I'm going to remind you again as an example. I'm sure many of you saw the movie Forrest Gump. Do you know why your heart was just brought to that movie? One of the major reasons. Why? There's not one of us that wouldn't like to play ping pong or run like he did. He had nothing but massive focus on everything he did. Visualization, one form of concentration. The crucial tool to high-performance living, visualization is a laser beam of imagination in which the desired goal is imagined so clearly by your conscious mind that the subconscious mind accepts it as its own and is activated by it, and is activated by it. I repeated that on purpose. Wow. You have the right to activate it. Why most people don't is they don't believe if they did, it would. Why don't you believe it, do it, and activate it, and watch how you will be very proud you did. You can do only what you mentally picture yourself doing. You can achieve in life only what you visualize yourself achieving. Visualization literally involves mind over matter. I rode bulls a large percent of my life. And I will tell you something, folks. When you walk up to the size of a bull and you climb on their back, there's one thing you learn real quick, and that is mind over matter. If your picture, your mental image, is not strong enough, your mind's vast powers turn into reality. I want to say that again. If your picture, your mental image, strongly enough, your mind's vast power turns into reality. Everyone can improve concentration. That's the thing you have to understand. It's an area in which you choose to work on, and once you work on it, you can improve it. Concentration releases the power of your mental potential. Most important to remember that. Take these steps to improve your ability to focus on your mental powers. Number one is to relax. Your body cannot perform at its best when you are nervous, worried, keyed up, and neither can your mind. Number two, try some concentration exercises to improve your mental abilities. Just as you practice the skills required to excel in your chosen endeavor, practice concentrating. That is something to remember. Number three, learn to tune out distracting influences. Nothing personal, folks. Being who I am, that is the most difficult part of my whole life. When you are ADD or ADHD, as I've talked about, you start to understand something. Literally, if I've had this happen a million times, would you look at me? Would you stay on the same subject? Would you make sure that we complete one topic at a time? That's been a part of my life. Some of you might be so gifted that that's not an issue at all. But realize, each and every one of us has to work on something. So, hey, that's mine. What is your situation? Learn to tune out distracting influences. You know what? If you're sitting there reading, and you got the TV on, and you got the radio on, then what are you really absorbing? Come on, folks. When you're driving to work, right, and you got your kids in the car, and you're combing your hair, you're putting your makeup on, you got your car phone on, you got a cup of coffee between your legs, and you're eating a donut. Now, I think that's pretty impressive. I don't know how you do it, but you know what? You're doing too many things at too many different times. Why don't we start what? Starting to realize the art of ignoring distractions and keeping ourselves focused. I think the problem we have is we do too many things at the same time, which then opens the floodgates to too many distractions. Number four, make concentration a habit. Concentration is an important in any activity. A good driver, for example, is constantly watching the road. You have to understand that that is an issue in which becomes a habit. We need to get back to the concentration habits. Now we're on number seven. Number seven is keep things in perspective. Whoa, what a point that is. I've talked about coaching soccer. I've talked about coaching football. I've talked about my parents on the sidelines. I think we can all agree, that's gotten nuts. Why? You got parents playing the game. I said, well, you put the pads on, you go play it if you don't want to sit down in the stands. I've given the example where I had the parents go onto the field and play the games and had their kids act like their parents. And their parents look back and say, golly, I really act like that? It changed their perspective of what was important in life. Realize, perspective as a definition is the ability to look realistically at all of the important factors and points and views of any given situation. I want to underline one thing. At all the important factors. Let me use soccer as an example. I have a team, 9 and under. This is my third 9 and under team because I had my daughter, now I had my son, and now I have my youngest son. Now, do you think for a moment any of these kids are going to remember how many games they lost or how many games they won? Not. Do you think for a moment that they're going to remember if they really beat that one team when they're in college? No. What they're really going to remember, and I think all of us can agree, was that experience positive or negative? Was that experience something that they learned as value principles of life, where what you do to another will come back? If you say things bad, then what happens? You do not build somebody up. That life is a team game, meaning that you can have one great player and literally not have a good team, but you can have a lot of average players with great chemistry and have a championship team. What is the things that they really learn? And what I ask, and if any of you parents are listening to this part of the program, I ask of you, when you walk on the field, don't judge the game by the win or loss. Judge the game by what that child is learning from that experience. A proper sense of perspective allows you to make the most careful and wisest decision possible. Perspective is putting the proper value on the emphasis of winning and losing. I'm going to repeat that. Putting the proper value on the emphasis on winning or losing. Perspective is an attitude you can develop. It is of great value in your quest for ultimate leadership. Always consider how your actions affect others and how the actions of others affect you, both within and outside the arena of competition. Life is one big arena. What I ask of all of us is to realize we need to bring more people to the winning circle than the losing circle. We need to bring more people to what? The growth circle than to the non-growing circle. We need to create what? The feeling that because you are a part of my life, I feel better every time I'm around you. That, my friends, is the greatest compliment any human being can give to another. When you are around me, I feel better about me because of you. I'm going to end this session with three very important words, which I end after every session, and they are, life is good. As we begin this program, which is titled The 45 Undeniable Truths of Life, I would ask of you to take the time to write down each of the 45 undeniable truths of life. And then, when you've gone through all of these, I want you to scale yourself. 1 means that you're not doing very good. 10 means you're osmosis. You're the best. You're the cheese. You're the big one. You're Mr. Mama Daddy. I mean, doesn't get much better. What I'm asking you to do is look at each one. Look where your strengths are. Look where your weaknesses are. Improve upon the weakness and remind you how good you're doing in your areas of strength. The first is the truth about love. Many of us are afraid to open the door to our hearts. For when we open it, we become vulnerable. We are afraid to hurt and of rejection. So we isolate ourselves to protect ourselves. We become comfortable without strong feelings. That's a scary thought, folks. Never freeing ourselves to live in the largest way. We are then out of touch with ourselves and fellow men and women. We live unfulfilled, always at a minimum. Life is not a minimum, and never at a maximum. Love is the only true fulfillment. You must understand what you feel in your heart, you must act upon. It is the moment of truth. I've talked about this. When you're reading a book and a person's name comes to mind, your job in life is to take that book and you autograph that book and you give it to the person that came to mind. Why? because that is what you're supposed to do. Love who you are in freedom blessed to love in America, where the vision, the eagerness, and the courage to find and express what is uniquely your own comes with the wondrous territory. Each day is another door to another adventure. Don't miss the adventures of life. You must be willing to forgive. Set a goal to forgive someone in the next 24 hours. It will make you feel better and allow your heart to grow. The most important issue here, I believe the good Lord has given me gut instincts for a reason. There's somebody listening to this audio program that I know right now. You know right now. There's no question about it. That situation, that person, that whatever just immediately came to your heart. What I'm asking you to do is go back to what we call what? The truth of diminishing intent. Meaning, you've got to go do it today. The second truth is the truth of diminishing intent, which we've already covered. That is, you have to do what you feel within 48 hours or you missed your window. The third truth is the truth about habits. I've talked about habits. It is your habits that makes up the person that you are. If you want to make a long-term changes in your life, it is up to you to have the disciplines to reestablish new habits in your life. As one great leader once said to me, show me a person's habits and I'll show you their success and failure formula. My question to you is, what habits do you have that needs to be changed? Write it down and begin to work on it today. Keep in mind, there are really two types of habits. There are good habits and there's bad habits. Make sure you work with one on each side. Example, I don't drink enough water in a day. That's a good habit. You want to add it in. Second example, I don't seem to look for the good in people. I always seem to look what's wrong. I'm always the one when somebody congratulates somebody, I'm the one in the background and muddles, hey, weren't they lucky? That's a bad habit. Get rid of it. The fourth truth of the 45 undeniable truths of life is the truth of responsibility. Once you take full responsibility for your actions, guess what? You become a better leader. Because I will never forget this as long as I live. I spoke to, I don't know, maybe 165 principals. And I asked them, I said, what's the biggest problem you have today? They said, parents won't support us. I almost started crying. I don't know about you, but when I got taken to the principal's office, and yes, I had my opportunity. When I was being taken to the principal's office, there was only one thought going through my mind. You know what it was? Oh, God, I hope you don't call mom or dad. Whatever you do, don't call mom or dad. I'm a changed human being. I know that's the 15th time I said it. I will mow your lawn. I will clean the floors. I have changed. Look at me. You know what? Basically, what they have stated to me is this. On the way to the principal's office today, a common response that they get from the kids is, wait till my mom and dad hear about this. We're going to sue you. Folks, I think accountability and responsibility starts with who? Us. Once we start holding ourselves to our own choices, good or bad, that we are more accountable and responsible to our own lives than our children will be as well. The fifth truth is the truth of compensation. Whatever you put in, it will come out. The more value you bring to your time, the more time will pay you for your value. Example, what I'm asking you to do is realize, my daughter and I was down on the beach. I had a program to do in South Padre. And we had an opportunity that morning because she traveled with me on this program. We got up. We were running on the beach. And as we were running, I found out she was in better shape than I was. So on the way back, Dad was kind of falling a little bit behind. So guess what? I started picking up some trash. It was on the beach. My daughter finishes her run. She comes back and she says, Dad, why are you picking up the trash? You didn't dump the trash. I said, very simple, Nicole. I walked on this beach today, and because of the choice I made, because of the compensation that I had put forth, this beach is a cleaner place because I walked across it. You know something? From my heart to your heart, what you say and what you do, your children do listen to. Sometimes I know it's hard to believe, especially if you have a teenager. Later that day, even into the evening, there we are. I don't know if any of you have gone out on the beach and done a little crab hunting, but with flashlights, it's a blast. I take the kids out there, and you know what? Today, I've yet to figure it out. Three kids standing above one crab, all yelling, they got it. And then the crab takes off, and three kids go in three different directions, all saying they have it. I've yet to figure that one out. But what I'm asking you to do is realize, that night, all of a sudden I turned around, and guess who was picking up trash on the beach on the way back to the hotel? Nicole. And I smiled, and she smiled back. And she says, well, Dad, because I walked across this beach, it's a cleaner place, too. All I'm asking you to do is realize, every time you leave someplace, every time you walk through someplace, every time you're a part of someplace, why not make it better because you were there? It's a great factor that not only creates what? A different outcome, but also creates a better person. The sixth truth is the truth of value. Your rewards in life will be in direct proportion to the level of service or value that you offer in life. Remember something. I use that example of a person reading a book, picking up an idea, and isn't it amazing that a friend, next thing you know, calls you and needs some suggestions. You phrase what you've read in the book to the human being, to your friend, and you've changed a life because you became more valuable, because you put more information in. The seventh truth is the truth of applied effort. All things are amenable to hard work. Balance is the key here. I believe it's quality of time at work. Meaning, when you go to work, load yourself up. Make sure you're focused on your task, cut out the waste of time, and get your job done as quick as you can, because it's quantity of time at home. I really want to say that again. It's quantity of time at home. Your kids nor your spouse cares about how much quality of time. I don't know where we got that turned around. What they really care is they care mom's home, they care dad's home, and you know what? Those of us that have teenagers, they don't even need to be talking to you. What I'm asking you to do is realize they just need to know that you're home. And you know, today in corporate America, one of the saddest things I hear is it is very hard to find somebody who understands what a full day's work is. Realize nothing will replace the ability to work hard. The eighth truth is the truth of overcompensation. Always put in more than you take out. Meaning, I'm sure all of you have been out to eat. I'm sure all of you have left tips. I'm sure all of you understand what TIP stands for, to ensure prompt service. What I ask you to do is also understand there's a valuable issue that must be clearly understood. To ensure prompt service. If you're going to ensure it, then why don't you give your tip up front? You know what? Generation to generation, people always tipped in advance. When I go out to dinner with people that have an evening set up that is absolutely necessary to run very smoothly, they always tip in advance. What I'm asking you to do is realize, next time you go out on a very special evening with a very special person, just walk up to the waiter or the waitress and hand them a tip and say, tonight's very special. Could you take care of me? And you know what? They'll hover on your table like bee on a honey. Remember something. Always put in more than you take out. Meaning, when you have a thought regarding something that you want to give or do to another person, always, I've learned this from great leadership among great people in the country, always go with your higher thought. If the tip is $20 and you get $15, you should have gone with the $20. The ninth truth is the truth of preparation. Pros always take more time to prepare than others do. Never forget the six P's. Prior preparation prevents pitiful poor performance. Realize something. If you're winging it, they know it. The tenth truth is the truth of activity. The more you take on based on activities, the more efficient you become. In the time management portion that I have regarding this program, I talk about knowing where to go next. And that is some of the biggest amount of wasted time in a day. We all get interrupted. It's your ability to know where to get back to, which will save you the time so you can get home sooner. We've all heard this story. Mom, Dad gets promoted. Mom, Dad brings homework home. Mom, Dad brings a lot of work home. Mom, Dad brings a ton of work home. Mom, Dad spend a lot of time at home working. Child says, how come Mom and Dad is now working at home all the time? Well, you have to understand. Mom, Dad got promoted, so they have to do more work. Well, why can't they finish it in the daytime? Well, because they're taking on new responsibilities. Maybe they need to get in a slower class. You know, I've worked with companies that literally they have a philosophy. And that is, if you get promoted into corporate, if you get promoted into a position, and you're staying too many hours after the normal work hours, the way they look at it is you've been overpromoted. So be careful what you're telling people by your inability to finish your task on the time frame that you are required to finish it. But the most important thing is to realize, the more active you stay, the more focused you stay, the more focused you stay, the quicker you get things accomplished, and you can get home. The 11th truth is the truth of making a choice. Nothing really happens until you make a choice. Right or wrong, it's better than no choice at all. It doesn't matter what side of the road you are on, for an example. Just get out of the middle of the road. What matters most is picking a side. If you can't make progress, you're not making a decision. Meaning, if you stay in the middle of the road too long, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get run over. Make a choice, right or wrong, but by making the choice, you will then know where to go from there. The 12th truth is a truth of imagination. It is your imagination that creates opportunity. Whatever a man or woman can dream and conceive, he or she can achieve. Dreaming has been and always will be the single most important activity in life. If you are going to live in this country, you must abide by the rules. There are social rules, political rules, economical rules, football rules, soccer rules, poker rules, dress rules. I don't care, but there's a lot of them. The rules for everything. But no matter how hard you look, you will not find a rule for the most important activity in life. And that is a rule for dreaming. I would like to write the new rule. And it will go like this. Each person in America must dream. And each friend must support that person's dream. I'll never forget it. I have a very close friend of mine. He has an organization that he has worked over the years. He says, Brian, I just haven't been able to get to the level that I want in life. I need to find another avenue. And I said to him, I says, what's your love? He says, golf. I said, golf? I didn't know you played golf. He said, well, I'm a pro golfer. I said,
Hello? Really? He said, yes. I said, okay, tell me about golf. He said, you know, all these years coming, but I'm glad you brought this up, he said, I've had this dream. I said, what's your dream? He says, I've got this dream about this new type of golf club. I said, tell me about it. So he tells him about it. I said, why don't you make it? He said, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. I don't know money, I don't know what I did. I said, hey, don't use that C word on me. In our family, it doesn't exist. I said, either you choose not to, or you choose to. It's not that you can't. He said, all right, point well taken. I said, do it. I get a phone call. Almost a year later. He says, Brian, I want you to come see my dream. I said, I'd be honored to. We met in a hotel lobby. You know why? Because he wanted to show me something. He took his new line of putters, and he lays them out there in the lobby, and he says, watch this. And today, this is a whole new line of putters that's just coming out that literally, I think, without question, is going to change how people look at a putter in the golf industry, which is phenomenal. I watched one person walk up, I watched two people walk up, and then I saw a line of over 30 people wanting to play with these putters. Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. But you know what's interesting? He took a dream, he had a friend that gave him advice and belief and helped him make a good choice, and now he's going to provide not only his dream, but for his family in a huge way. You must dream. Without a dream, you have no hope. Without hope, you have no direction. Without any direction, what do you have? Nothing. All you have is a lot of anger. What I'm asking each and every one of us, and that is this. Dream and support people's dreams. Don't be the one that throws the water on the fire. How do you know that that might not change a whole industry? The 13th truth is the truth of an open mind. Clear of the goal, flexible on how you might attain it. What do I mean? I don't know if this is a guy thing or not, but it sure is with me. When I want to go from Dallas to Colorado, which I go twice a year to see my folks, in 21 years we've been married, I've only spent one Christmas at my house. Why? Because we've always made it a rule in my family, not going home for Christmas is never an option. And you know what? It's interesting. Now I say, hey, kids, you're at the age. If you want to stay, that's fine. Dad, no way. We're going to Colorado. Why? Not because it's Colorado. It's because that's where family is. And I think because of what we have done over the years, I know when they have families that they will come home as well. But you know what's so funny? I always tell my wife, I said, okay, it's about a 13-hour drive. Load up the car. Get the kids in there. Get the dogs in there. Get the cats in there. Now we are got a mission. It's a man mission. I'm going to leave Dallas. I'm going to arrive in Colorado Springs, and I might let them out to go to the bathroom once. And we're going to go from one point to another, and that's all there is to it, and this is a marathon. Come think about it. This year, I'm going to beat it by 20 minutes. Right? My wife, what'd she say? We're driving down the road. She looks over and says, look at there. There's some caves. That'd be cool, see them? Oh, look over there. Look at that monument. Hey, look at that history marker. Look at that town. No. We're going to Colorado. We're going to get there. You know what? Over the years, I've learned to be a little bit more flexible, to be a little bit more open-minded for one reason. Because when I was so closed-minded, when I was so non-flexible, then I realized I missed a ton. I took the trip. Got there, but I missed everything I was supposed to see on the way. The 14th truth is the truth of concentration. Whoa, what a subject this is. The ability to stay on a task until completed. When you are where you are, you must be there. The most important issue in life, the great factors of success, the thing that makes a difference between happiness and frustration, the thing that allows somebody to sincerely understand that life is within your controls, comes down to one thing. Can you finish a task? If you stop at half a book, you'll stop at half everything. If you, most importantly, start a project, can't complete a project, how do I know? Folks, I've been in this business for 14 years. Like I said before, we all have gifts. We all have weaknesses. One of my biggest weaknesses, and I don't know if any of you are listening, but one of my biggest weaknesses, as they say, is I'm qualified as ADD. Anybody know what that is? Of course you do. Attention Deficit Disorder. Actually, I'm not ADD. I'm ADHD. You know what that is? Attention Deficit Hyper Disorder. Hard to understand, isn't it? Hey, I'm hyper internal and external. My brain works so fast that the biggest challenge I have is what? When somebody says something to me, it's remembering it. Reading one line over and over and over and over again all my life. If I've heard it once, I remember when I got tested, she says, you're one of the highest ratings we have. I said, yes, I've always believed this. Whatever you be the best. She looks at me and goes, why am I not surprised? Hey, all I can say is this. I said, what's all this mean? She says, best way I can put it, you were a teacher's nightmare. I said, really? She goes, oh, yeah. I said, well, come think about it. I think I was. If I heard it once, I heard it many times. Would you look at me? Would you pay attention to me? Would you stop kicking in? Can you remember anything? All my life. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do is realize something. Concentration is a muscle. If you work on it, you'll get better. If you don't work on it, it'll get worse. What's the greatest computer in the world, folks? Your brain. When they developed a computer, what was the model after? Your brain. When they developed a computer, what was the two biggest problems they had? Memory and recall. Sound familiar? How they solved the memory. The memory used to take a room big time big to do what a penny does today. You know what the two limiting factors size of the computer is today? The size of the human finger and heat. They solved half of it. IBM now has a computer that you can talk to, and it types for you. The only thing left is heat. Literally, you can hold a penny in your hand. The way we create energy creates heat. They can't keep it cool enough. What I'm asking you to do is realize something. How a computer works is you give the computer a file, and you tell it how to find it. You, in your own mind, never forget anything. The problem is, you don't know where to go look to find it. Has this ever happened to anybody? You meet somebody, you see them in a restaurant. You look across the room and you say, hey, I know that person, right? And you go, oh, I don't remember their name. Come think about it, they work for me. And what do you say? Oh, God, I hope they don't come this way. What happens every time you say it? Oh, here they come. They walk up to you and go, hey, how you doing? Go home fine. How you doing? They walk away. Guess what? They know. They know what? You don't know their name. Never forget this. People do not care how much you know. They only care how much you know about them and can remember. Now, here's my point. You said to yourself when you walked over, what is his or her name? You gave your brain the command. Your brain listens, so be careful the commands you give it. An hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, week later, month later, I don't care what time, 2:30 in the morning, what pops in your head? The name. Your brain goes, hey, you want the name now? Right? And you go, hey, oh, 2:30 in the morning, I can't call up and say, hey, Brian, found your name. You know why that happens? It's very simple. Your brain had to go through every file it had to find a common denominator. How come that a computer can put 500 pages of information and you can look it under A, B? You know why? Because you gave it one place to look. What I'm asking you to do is understand something. You expand your own files, your own places that you have to put information, and you know where to look to find it. You'll find it. Realize, and I hope that I say it in a way that will really put the message across. Computers don't care if you're healthy, happy, employed, unemployed. Your brain is mega times better than the computer. The computer should not replace you. It should enhance you. It should challenge you to realize that that box can do that. Imagine what you can do if you decide to work on it. What I'm asking more than anything in the whole world, some of us fell prey to what we call the calculator days, right? Oh, what's 25 times 125? I don't know. You got a calculator? Hello? Hey, it's called a muscle. The concentration is the issue that we all need to work on. I coach two football teams and two soccer teams. And I will tell you something without hesitation. I have parents come to me. It's kind of funny. They always come up and say, do you know what? My son's on your soccer team. Awesome. I've been trying to get him on for 2 years. Well, do you know? Do I know what? Well, he's ADD. You know what? I have one response for all of them now. I look at him and say, great, I'm ADHD. I'm your son in a big body. Scary. scares the heck out of them. They go, whoa. And they always say one thing. Well, how much Ritalin do you take before you coach? And I always say, none, can't you tell? None, can't you tell? None, can't you tell? I mean, hey, what I'm asking you to do is realize one thing. Drugs are an important part of our life. I am not going to sit here and say anything different. But you cannot buy disciplines. Meaning, if you want to lose weight, you know how you do it? It's very simple. You don't buy a pill. You drink more water. You do a little exercise. You eat less food, and you eat more often. How tough is this? Point of issue is what? The responsibility is upon ourselves. It's not upon something else then we can blame if it doesn't work. Hello? I hope you take that to your heart. What I'm asking you to do is realize, you have got to work on your ability to, when you are where you are, be there. We have all this technology in the whole wide world, and why are there more people out of control than ever? It's because you won't turn off the cellular phones. You won't turn off the pages. Let your voicemail work for you. Stop having it demand your time. There's nothing worse in the whole wide world than when I'm talking to somebody and their cellular phone goes off and they answer it. I usually walk away now. You know why? Because what they've told me is the person they didn't even know who was calling was more important than the conversation I was having, so I think I'll just go home and spend some time with my kids. The 15th truth is the truth of rest. Remember, rest is the basis for dynamic activity. You must have rest. Just don't rest too long. There are some people out there that says, you sleep more than 3 hours, 4 hours, you're a lazy, you're not successful, you're not motivated, you're not driven, you're not a driver. Not. I think, personally, that's a scary statement. Your body needs a certain amount of rest. It could be 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. You know what your body needs. Nobody knows but you. Everybody works on a different level of rest. What I'm asking is to realize that there is a great book, and it is what they call The Power Sleep by James Moss. You know what's interesting? His highly original research and conclusion has impacted many in this area. It's called The Golden Rules. Number one is, get an adequate amount of sleep. If you're tired, there's a reason for it. Number two is, establish a regular sleep schedule. Your body gets used to a certain schedule. Enjoy it. Of course, dummy. Do we not get interrupted? Hey, if you have kids, we all appreciate that. But here's the key. Number three is, get continuous sleep. Meaning, when you're asleep and you're sleeping well, stay. Meaning, in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, get up. Get up and read. Get up and do whatever you need to. There's something that needs to be accomplished. There's an issue in your mind that needs to be resolved. Don't postpone it. Meaning, get it resolved, get it taken care of so you can go back to sleep and have a real sleep. The fourth is the most important. I really hope you listen. Make up for lost sleep. If you have lost sleep, in my case, this happens a lot to me. But I've learned there's a certain amount of hours I must sleep every week. So I pretty much calculate those hours. And if I run short on those hours, I make them up. And the reason why I make them up is my body really thanks me for it. And nothing personal, but my body's kind of important to me. I kind of like it when it says, hey, thanks, buddy. I feel much better. You came through and gave me what I needed. The 16th truth is the truth of belief. The definition of belief is the mental act, condition, or habit, underlying habit, of placing trust or confidence in a person or thing. Keep in mind, if you don't believe, then it will not be achieved. It doesn't matter what it is. The key to belief is developing the habits to stay focused on how it can work, not how it can't work. Having people around you with good belief habits is the greatest factor, because belief is a learned trait. I was given a poem once by an author that's titled Unknown Author, or I'd be more than happy to give you his name. But I think some of you have heard this before, and I want you to listen to it. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. You'd like to win, but you think you can't. It's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a person's will. It's all in the state of mind. Life battles don't always go to the stronger or to the faster hand, but sooner or later, the person who wins is the one who thinks he or she can. Now we're going to talk about the 17th truth, and that is the truth of change. Disgust and resolve are two of the great emotions that lead to change. Keep in mind, there is one thing that we can all count on, and that is change. The question is, are you in control of the change, or is the change in control of you? Change is something basically that comes abruptly, brutally, and shakes us out of our comfort. Unsettling as this can be at first, the opportunity to change, to grow, and to adapt to new conditions in one's life is the greatest gift and the greatest miracle of all. It seems we can begin again and commit ourselves again to life. Life is too short not to be happy. What you might want to ask yourself is look in the mirror and say, isn't it amazing that when change came, I was not happy? Over a period of time, I looked back and said, I'm happy that that happened because of what and where I am today. The 18th truth is the truth of asking. That's very simple, folks. Asking is the beginning of receiving. All I'm asking you to do is realize something. If you do not ask, how can you receive? I'll never forget. I spent a lot of my life rodeoing. And I'll never forget in one big parade that we were promoting, and we had the horses out there, and this little kid comes walking up. And I thought that he wanted to get on my horse. So I said, would you like, you know, I just said, hey, I put him on the horse. I walked him around. I was doing all the things I could. And I noticed he wasn't happy. There was something that wasn't going right. So I put him down. I walked away a little bit. And I thought, no, I got to go find out what it was. So I went back up to the child, and I said, was there something that I did that made you feel uncomfortable? And he looks at me and says, no, I just wanted to feed the horse. He'd never fed the horse. You got to ask, folks. We're not psychics. You've got to ask. If you want something special from a friend, be willing to ask so the friend knows what to do. 19th truth is the truth of basics. Realize something. Success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is natural or consequence of consistently applying basic fundamentals. Keep in mind that the fundamentals are the foundation that all great success stories are built on. It is your ability to stay with the fundamentals consistently will set you apart. A person in one of my seminars came up to me and said, it is that simple way that created the most important issue in my life. And that is I've gotten too far away from what counts. The most important factor here is to remember, work on the things that are easy not to do. Let me give you a perfect example. Okay? Is it easy not to read a book? Yes. You can go a whole year, you can go a whole life and never read books. You might have a tough life, but you can get away with it. Now, try not eating for a year. Nice knowing you, you're dead. What I'm asking you to do is realize it's not easy not to eat. You have to eat. But it is easy not to read. What I'm wanting you to realize is work on the things that are easy not to do. All right, let's move over to the 20th truth. That is the truth of persuasion. Keep in mind that we persuade every day the people that we are around, friends and family. Let's start holding ourselves accountable to what we are persuading others to do. Questions that you need to ask yourself is what? Are the people you're around, are you persuading them to read? Are you persuading them to be positive? Are you persuading them to believe in themselves? Are you persuading them to look for the good or the bad? Are you persuading them to see their dreams? What I'm asking is you realize that each and every person in this world, every day you walk, talk, and breathe, anybody that's in line with you at any time is being persuaded by you. Hold yourself accountable to what you are doing for another person. The 21st truth is the truth of disciplines. The least lack of discipline starts to erode our self-esteem. Disciplines has within it the potential for creating future miracles. There are two types of pains that we all live with, and I've talked about it before. That is the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. The pain of regret is that you're not disciplined enough. Now you've got to live with that pain. I shared something with my mother and father that I'll never forget as long as I live. I snuck into the house in Colorado. I took all the videos of my brother, my sister, and I growing up. I came back to Dallas. I converted them to VHS. And then I sat down and went ahead and picked out pieces of each of my brother, my sister, and I growing up. So it came to about a 15, 17 minute video. And we literally watched when they were born to where they grow up in 17 minutes. And then I sent an audio program to my brother and sister. And I said, I want you to put on there the music you most love. And at the end of that, I want you to say on tape what you always want to say to mom and dad if they weren't here. And then I put it on the VHS. And you know what? I stood in front of my family at Christmas and I handed them this tape. And I said, here's something money can't buy. They plugged it in and we watched it. May I suggest if you ever do this, make sure you have a lot of tissue. But you know what's interesting? All I am very happy about is that I had enough disciplines to realize the thought that I had in my heart that I completed, and today, when it's my brother's birthday, my mom and dad watch that part of the video. When it's my sister's birthday, they watch that part of the video. When it's my birthday, they watch that part of the video. The most important thing that I want to make is this. I had the disciplines to complete the task, and I'm very glad I did. The 22nd truth, and that is the truth of learning. You're not paid by the time anymore. You're paid by the value that you bring to your time. More you learn, the more you'll earn. The more value that you bring to your time, the more time will pay you for your value. The 23rd truth, and that is the truth of caring. Your ability or inability to care shows your true ability to love. One that can't love has a real hard time caring. Today, more than ever, people need the feeling that somebody does care about them. The biggest factor here is that you are happy with yourself. If you are happy with yourself, then you can share that with others. Show your contempt for the problem and your concern for the person. The more you care, the stronger you can be. Show me a person that really cares about people. I'll show you a great leader. Now we're going to move on to the 24th truth, and that is the truth of emotions. Emotions will either guide you toward the goal or will lead you away from it. Be a master of your emotion, folks.